They found out seconds later. 100 meters farther, they heard a tremendous shriek of metal from ahead and above. A shuttle with Kuwadi markings emerged from the building. Through a closed portal, the impact hurling slabs of artificial stone and Durasteel support scores of meters. Passing through the non-exit, which was too small for the shuttle's generous girth, caused the vehicle's upraised wings to rip clean off. They fell to either side. The shuttle, angling downward, headed toward the permacrete of the plaza. Okta could neither see nor detect a pilot in the shuttle's cockpit. The shuttle's repulsors were not the only ones to be heard. Before the building alarms cut in, their howl drowning out all other noises, Okta heard another, more familiar set of repulsors increasing in volume from within the hangar. She put on a force-aided burst of speed, then leapt, trying to achieve as much altitude and distance as she could. As she leapt, she shouted, "Push!" Her apprentice, though underconfident and undertrained, was smart, and telekinesis was something she was good at. Okta felt Sahar's effort not as a blow to her back, but almost as a short blast of wind, a stream of power that lofted her, propelled her. As the gray X-Wing emerged from the hangar through the ruined door, Okta slammed into the starboard side of the fuselage, her right arm scrambling at the nose just in the front of the canopy. The impact hammered her ribs. Valen Horn, in the pilot's seat, inappropriately dressed in businessman's garments, looked surprised. He stared at Okta, mouth open. Unseen, behind Okta in the distance, the ruined shuttle came down on the plaza with a noise like tons of metal and ceramic refuse being dropped by a negligent giant. The noise became a screech and scrape as the shuttle skidded forward, still propelled by its thrusters. Okta knew Valen's preferred tactics as well as he did. He needed to bank and roll, cause her to drop off. But halfway emerged through an irregular aperture, he couldn't. Not yet. To do so would mangle or even tear free the starfighter's strike foils, turning the X-Wing into an expensive, uncomfortable, ugly airspeeder. Instead, Valen grimaced and eased the yoke forward, emerging 2 more meters into the pre-dawn air. Okta got her offhand onto her lightsaber and managed to unclip it. She ignited it and thrust with the weapon at the canopy. Not at Valen, but at the point closest to her right arm, where the canopy dogged into place against the fuselage. The point of her weapon, driven at an awkward angle by her less practiced hand, skidded off the transparasteel and up, inflicting nothing but a scar on the canopy. She tried again. Valen, timing his action by her attack, punched the thrusters just a little, throwing her off balance. She did not fall off, but the energy blade punched through the canopy centimeters behind the latch. The blade, just above Valen's hands on the yoke, hit the far side of the canopy and burned through there, too. Now the X-Wing was fully extracted from the hangar door. Valen gave Okta a mocking smile, elevated the starfighter's nose, and opened the thrusters full force. The X-Wing shot upward at a steep takeoff angle. Okta felt her right hand slipping across the fuselage. She slid farther down the side of the cockpit, wildly waving her left arm and the lightsaber in it for balance, and then tried another blow. Her attack had no accuracy or leverage. It hit the canopy over Valen's face, well away from her intended point of impact, and again left nothing but a scar. Valen should have been rolling the X-Wing by now, but he did not, and Okta lost a precious second or two trying to figure out why. Then she understood. "He's taking me as high as he can, so I'll die when I hit the ground." She took a moment to look around, but of course there were no speeders below or close by. Unauthorized traffic was forbidden this close to the Senate building, and authorized traffic was rare at this hour. Valen gave her a last look of triumph. He twitched the yoke, and the X-Wing shuddered. Okta's hand slipped free, and she fell. She felt a touch of regret. Force techniques to slow falling were of little use in open air at altitudes like this. She was going to be a mess, a dead mess, when she hit. She deactivated her lightsaber and clipped it to her belt. It wouldn't do to have it shear through some innocent pedestrian running in the wake of the shuttle, which, now burning, had come to a rest against the government building on the far side of the plaza. Okta prepared herself for impact. When Okta woke up, she knew only moments had passed. The Senate building alarms were still howling. Sirens announced the imminent arrival of other official vehicles. There was also a persistent ringing in her head. She didn't hurt that badly. Quickly, carefully, she flexed limbs, shifted her body, explored herself in the Force. Not even a broken bone. She opened her eyes, and Saha, framed by stars, was kneeling over her, looking worried, crestfallen.
Master? I'm all right.
Octa struggled to sit up. Well, she wasn't entirely all right. Every muscle hurt, and she was certain she had a concussion.
You caught me with telekinesis? Partly. You still hit hard.
Not that hard.
Octa managed a shaky laugh.
You did very, very well.
But we lost. He got away. We won. He's in street clothes, and his canopy isn't airtight, so he can't make space. And he's airborne, so his tracking device will give away his location continuously. We flushed him.
Standing, she stretched her back, trying to afford it a little relief. Others will have to run him to ground.